Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
Adonai, Adonai, Adoneinu. Ma'adir shimcha b'chal haaretz. Adonai, Adonai, Adoneinu. Asher tana horcha al ha-shamay.
Next year in Jerusalem. Well, that next year was this year. I'm your host, Chris Long. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we have a special program for you tonight. And we're going to talk about the land of Israel, the land of God's people. And we just returned from a wonderful trip to Israel, the trip of a lifetime. And it's been some years in the making for me personally, and it's been a wonderful journey over the last 10 days to visit the land of the Bible, to visit the land of Israel, and to see firsthand what God has done so miraculously with this land, this little strip of land that has been forsaken, in fact, which Mark Twain, when he visited back in 1840s, and he would say, and who would want to come here? There wasn't even a single tree. It was so desolate. It was so bereft of any life, Mark Twain responded and quoted. Well, it's a much different place today because God has blessed the land as his people returned, as he gave his promise in the book of Ezekiel. Well, we're going to talk about that with some very special guests this hour. With me on the phone was the director of our journey to Israel with a group of pastors from all over the Midwest. And what a great time that we had as we fellowshipped in the Lord, and we learned so much on this trip to Israel that Christians United for Israel were our host. And with me on the phone is Pastor Lyndon Allen. He is the Central Regional Coordinator for CUFI, or Christians United for Israel. And coming up in July, on the 23rd and 24th of July, is the National Conference of CUFI in Washington, D.C., with Pastor John Hagee and many other special guests. And we're going to give you opportunity to register for that conference. You won't want to miss it. Pastor Allen, thank you for joining us, brother.
My pleasure, my pleasure. It was indeed an honor to have you in the Holy Land. Your voice is strong in Ohio, and I dare say it's going to be even stronger after having visited Israel.
Oh, without question, without question. I have just overwhelmingly a wonderful experience to be in the Holy Land and to be there with you and the brethren that we went with. And, you know, God just really orchestrated that and put that group together. What a special group of guys that we had that came with us.
Oh, it was excellent to have 30 of God's under-shepherds, because that's who we are. You know, he's the chief shepherd and we're his under-shepherds. In the land to understand the kingdom perspective of Israel. Israel is not just a geopolitical matter. It's a kingdom matter. It's a Bible matter. And the people of God, who are Christians, we need to understand what key role is Israel playing in the kingdom. And the key role that it's playing is this. Israel is God's redemption plan for planet Earth. After all, our Messiah, Jesus, came through the Jewish people. Were it not for them, we wouldn't have a Messiah. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. If there weren't a Hanukkah, there would never have been a Christmas. So we're intricately connected without question.
We are indeed. And one of the areas of the scriptures that came to life for me was from Ezekiel chapter 37, and I'm reading. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel says, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, there were very many dry bones. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And he said, I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto the bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, this area of Scripture really came to life, Lyndon, when we were there in the land of Israel, as God has brought his people back, over 6.5 million Jews. And what's unique about that, the same number that were destroyed during the Holocaust just 70 years ago, 75 years ago, now back in the land of promise.
Yeah, you tell me a people group twice exiled from their land and they find their way back. The Babylonians displaced them and they find their way back through Nehemiah, Ezra. That's what that story is about. And then the Romans displaced them in A.D. 70 and really a heavy squelch in A.D. 135. And then they find their way back again in 1948. And according to Amos chapter 9, which states, when you see the land blossom open with its vegetation and they're planting vineyards and such, know this, that they will never be uprooted from their land again. That's what Amos 9 says. So if you see these new things coming to pass, just like the sinew that you spoke of from Ezekiel chapter 37, just like when you see these things, these threads of life starting to come back, know that this is the last time that Israel will ever have to deal with expulsion. They've only gone through it. They've been through it twice, and they'll never go through it again. We are truly living in Bible times right now, but that doesn't mean their enemies are sleeping. Doesn't mean that at all.
Well, that's right, and we received quite a policy briefing. This is a fast-paced trip. Our guide kept us moving, Ronnie Netzer, and you know, thank you, Pastor, for having him to be our guide. I mean, he's Jewish. He knew both the Old and New Testament, and he had such a passion for what he was doing and giving us an education as pastors. In fact, he would put a lot of Christians to shame of the working knowledge that he had of both Old and New Testament.
Better you say it than I, Chris. That's true. It was true. He would have danced circles around believers and God's word. But we're still waiting for the Jewish people, and we'll trust the Lord. Just as it says in Romans 11, all Israel will be saved. Mm. Like Joseph saved all Israel. He did. There were only 70 of them at the time, but he did it. God did it through Joseph. He saved all Israel. And Yeshua, Jesus, he'll get it done, and we're going to be there. It's going to be an exciting time when the Messiah arrives. Both Jews and Christians are waiting for the Messiah, and the running joke is when he'll come, it'll be, is this your first or your second time?
Well, that's right. You know, and many people listening to us right now, they love the state of Israel. They pray for the state of Israel. And of course, we have seen some things politically here in this country when the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, just visited. In fact, one friend said, looks like we exchanged you for Benjamin Netanyahu, who came and we sent you to Israel to represent us. And you know, Cufi is a representation of the church in Israel. And I saw that, Pastor, the ambassadors of each pastor and their love for the people of Israel, their love for the state of Israel resonated with people. Our time back on the plane, the folks that were there and just loving on us. And of course, the airline itself, the Jewish airline, El Al, is, of course, it's part of sovereign, the state of Israel. And 400 people were able to transfer from the United States to Israel and back. And it's mostly Jewish and Israeli people. And, of course, they saw this group of pastors, and they were just loving on us and thanking us when they heard that our name is Christians United for Israel.
Oh, we are 4 million strong, started by Pastor Hagee in 2006 with only 400 people. Now we're 4 million. I look forward to when our membership matches the number of citizenry in the state of Israel, when we get to 6 million. You know, about 55 million evangelicals in the country, and we're only at 4 million. We haven't reached 10% of our potential yet, and we're looking forward to it. And the reason why Pastor Hagee started it is because we don't want to have on our watch, when anti-Semitism rears its foul, ugly head, We don't want it said of us what was said of the Reich Church 80 years ago, where the Reich Church fell in line with Hitler's demands, and the church was part of the state. And sadly, Christians were complicit in the fall of and ouster of so many lives in Germany, and in Auschwitz, precious Jewish people lost their lives, and the German church said nothing. Now, there were a few who were fighting, namely Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You know, he's a hero of mine. I came to the U.S., and he fought anti-Semitism in his own land, and it cost him his life.
Yes.
Pastor Hagee wanted nothing to do with the church being asleep amidst anti-Semitism. I'll give you an example. One of his best friends, if it's not his best friend even today, is Rabbi Aryeh Sheinberg. And Rabbi Sheinberg is the preeminent rabbi in the city of San Antonio, which is the base of Christians United for Israel, Kufi. Well, Rabbi Sheinberg, two summers ago, had a severe act of vandalism against the synagogue and his neighborhood, because quite a few people live in the neighborhood of the synagogue. Foul pro-Nazi epithets were spray-painted on the marquee of the church, windows busted in with rocks, more spray-painting KKK on gate doors, just filthy anti-Semitism yet again. Well, here's what Pastor Hagee did. He not only called him, he showed up at the synagogue in short order and said, "We stand with you."
Yes.
And made a video. We're pressing the authorities of the San Antonio Police Department to find these hoodlums and bring them to the full extent of justice. And so that's the kind of organization we are. We stand against anti-Semitism in very practical ways, particularly in D.C.
First promise in the Bible of the state of Israel was when God called Abraham himself in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This, folks, this is the promise that God gave to Abraham at the very beginning, and so also we now bless Israel. Because Israel is blessing us, and we are the blessed seed, as Christ came from the seed of Abraham. It came from the Jewish seed. And this is the blessing of the entire earth. You know, Pastor, as we went each day and we went all over the land of Israel, by the way, we had one brother that had one of those meters on his watch of how much we walked. When you said we were going to be doing a lot of walking, you weren't kidding. He marked that we went 30 miles on our feet, almost 30 Boy. Miles. Yeah. So.
Hey, and when did Christ start his ministry? How old was he?
Yes, 30 years old, yes.
30 years old, so we went a mile per age.
Well, I'll tell you, we were on a bus, of course, and then we're seeing all these places and thinking about where our Lord and the disciples walked. So another appreciation that Jesus came in the fullness of time. And, of course, that he did all that he did in his ministry in those 3.5 years. But you first took us to Caesarea Philippi. And, of course, this is where Paul was imprisoned and on the coast. And it was Herod's Harbor that was there. That was a fascinating place. Tell us a little bit about Caesarea Philippi.
Well, we actually went to Caesarea.
Caesarea, excuse me.
Yeah, we went to Caesarea. Caesarea Philippi is a little more inland. But Caesarea was the capital of Judea, according to the Romans. When the Romans occupied Israel, their capital was Caesarea. It was gorgeous, beautiful coastline. And you, with your natural eyes, saw why the Romans would have chosen that spot. Paul was imprisoned there for 2 years. He wrote quite a few of the prison epistles from there. And what I shared with the pastors is sometimes when the Lord corners us and puts us on pause, that doesn't mean we should stop being productive. Pause doesn't mean pause productivity. It means to just be still, and God is seeking to squeeze out of us something that's going to bless others. And when Paul was imprisoned there in Caesarea, it produced a life for the church. And that place is where the Romans would have their activities. There's a hippodrome there. There's a theater there. because the Greco-Romans were the inventors of drama. So it turned out to be this capital place when the leaders of the occupied Israel were not dealing with the high holy days of the Jewish people out in Jerusalem, they would spend their time in Caesarea. And we wanted to give you that understanding that Caesarea is the place where Gentile believers actually had a strong foothold, namely Cornelius. If we remember Cornelius, he came to faith in Jesus, Caesarea. He sent for Peter, and Peter left Joppa, which is another coast, and Peter came up from Joppa to Caesarea to meet with Cornelius, and Cornelius gave his life and the lives of his family members, his entire household, to Christ. And that happened in Caesarea. And that's a Gentile, a European Italian, coming into the kingdom through the ministry of a Jew named Peter. So Caesarea is like the tip of the spear for Western Christianity, because it started spreading from there.
After that, we went to Mount Carmel, and we overlooked the Valley of Armageddon. And what a wonderful time that was up on Mount Carmel to understand the stand that Elijah took against the prophets of Baal, and asking the people, you're halting between two opinions, between Baal and between Jehovah. Make up your minds who you're going to serve. And of course, it was a great contest on Mount Carmel. And the 400 prophets of Baal, they prayed all the day long. They slashed themselves. And of course, their false god did not answer. But then Elijah called the people around him. They made the altar, they put on the sacrifice, but then he had them pour barrels of water over the sacrifice, over the water, the altar, and so much that it filled up into the trenches. Then he prayed, and God answered by fire and consumed it all. And so they fell down on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." And then, as the Old Testament instructs, now grab the prophets, these false prophets of Baal that are leading you away. Not let one of them escape. And of course, then he took them down to the brook Kidron, and there, of course, they perished at the hands of the Israelites and Elijah. Then you took us to the Sea of Galilee, and so it was wonderful to take that time in at the Sea of Galilee, and to see where Jesus ministered at Capernaum, the Mount of Beatitudes. That was a wonderful place. And again, as our tour guide was referencing, when Mark Twain visited the area in 1840, something like 1840, 1844, and talked about how barren it all was. Well, it's just the opposite now, where God has restored the blessing to the land, because it had to be His people to inhabit the land, and seeking Him to bring the blessing back upon the land. And then, of course, that night we stayed at the in Tiberias on the Sea of Galilee. How peaceful that was. By the way, Pastor, I had a great hotel room overlooking the Sea of Galilee. That was really special.
Oh, the sunrises, huh?
Yeah, that was beautiful. But the next day, we learned about the other reality for Israel, and that is the danger is never too far away with the enemies of Israel. As a little, this little strip of land, this little nation is surrounded by their enemies, and then we were taken up to the Golan Heights. Tell us about Elliot Chudoff and, of course, his military background and what he did that day, and give us a briefing.
Well, Elliot Chudoff is a Northern Command reservist major. He wrote the field manual for the IDF, and he has deep insight into what's going on in the north, Syria and in Lebanon. There are those who would say there's some myths that need to be dealt with when it comes to the enemies of Israel, and it's not just Lebanon, it's not just Syria, it's Iran. There were factions in Iraq. We've got Hamas and Gaza to the south. At one time, Egypt was a player against Israel. Now they're into a peace agreement with them.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, Israel just cut a $15 billion natural gas project with Egypt. Egypt will be buying Israel's natural gas. Wow.
Praise God.
How things have changed. Israel has a peace agreement with Jordan. So I mentioned Egypt, and I mentioned Jordan. With Egypt and with Jordan, Israel has a border, technically, with Lebanon and Syria, since they are not recognized nations, since they are fully a mess. Israel doesn't really have a border. They just have an agreed place of let's not shoot each other here, and the UN kind of occupies that demilitarized zone.
Yes.
If you have a demilitarized zone, you really don't have a border. So Israel pays very close attention. So now I'm going to use the phrase border, but now you know what I mean, that it's really technically not one because they are not legitimate nations in Lebanon and Syria. Syria is absolutely falling apart. Assad doesn't have much of anything there other than him trying to hang on to his own feudal factions within the state. But the Middle East, as we know it, as the British and the French kind of agreed to what it would be, that's pretty much gone. Those lines are gone. And the chaos of Libya and Syria have much to speak about that. So here's a myth that we need to get rid of when it comes to Israel's enemies. They would say that Israel is guilty of ethnic cleansing. That's why we want to attack them. Well, that's not true. I mean, Arabs, the growth of Arabs within Israel is irrefutable. There are Arabs in Israel who would rather live in Israel than in any other Arab state.
Yes.
And when you drove around, you saw Arabs who had shops, homes. They weren't living in tents. Now, the Bedouins may choose to do so, but that's their choice.
That's a lifestyle. But, and then, yeah, of course, commerce with that they have within Israel. We patronize them, too, as many of them sell Israel, you know, gifts at the gift shops and all.
They're open on Saturdays when everybody else is closed. I mean, when Israel's engaging in some Shabbat. Another myth that we have to deal with is the fact that Israel is declared to be some kind of apartheid state. That's not true. I mean, there are Arabs in the Israeli Knesset of 120. At least 12 of them are Arabs. They're Arab judges. So Israel is not. Did you see any, you know, Arab water or Israel?
No, it's sharing the land.
Arab bathroom.
It was
absolutely
sharing land. Well, Pastor, we're just about done with this segment. We're going to be joined on the other side by Mike Goldstein. We're going to talk about HCR 10, which supports the State of Israel, and we're going to talk about the border wall and how successful that's been to bring safety and security within the borders of Israel. But I want to talk about one precious moment. We were on the Sea of Galilee, and of course, we took a boat ride like the disciples did, and what was never thought in my wildest dreams I'd be on the Sea of Galilee and singing the national anthem, America's national anthem, as the flag was raised. And then that night at the restaurant and having the folks sing God Bless America, that was really a welling of the eyes moment, as you mentioned, and it was just so precious. And you can see the camaraderie and the union between both United States and the State of Israel and its people. Well, listen, folks, you want to stay tuned because on the other side, we're going to continue with Lyndon Allen. We're going to talk with Mike Goldstein. We're going to continue this conversation on the land of Israel today and what God is doing. And, of course, the security issues in Israel and how those are being sorted out. We can learn a lot from that, and we need to support the State of Israel. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. If you missed any of today's program, you can always go to our website and hear it in its entirety there. But those of you that are staying with us, we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Looking out for seniors today. It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus us fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Me'ahav ta'et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha.
Okay, and we're back. You're listening to News in Focus, and with us on the phone is Lyndon Allen, and he is the Central Regional Coordinator for Christians United for Israel. Also joining us is our good friend Mike Goldstein, and he is serving as the Executive Director for Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, its chapter here in Ohio. And we've been working on a piece of legislation, HCR 10, which supports the State of Israel, speaks out against anti-Semitism that's been growing on Ohio college campuses because of the BDS movement, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement against the State of Israel. Well, who's behind that effort to basically brainwash the children's on college campuses here in America? We're going to talk about that this segment, and we're glad that you've joined us. You know, recently I just came back from a wonderful trip to Israel and saw firsthand the security in the State of Israel, and of course to be able to participate at praying at the Western Wall and having on the Sabbath, of course, as we were at the evening of the Sabbath, and then sitting down with a Jewish family and to have Sabbath dinner with them. And it was a wonderful experience. In fact, it was a new movement. In fact, many families, Jewish families, are hosting strangers to come in and to share Sabbath dinner with them. And here to talk about that more is Lyndon Allen. Lyndon, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Chris, for having me. I love what you're doing in Ohio, and keep up the good work. It was great to have you in Israel.
Well, thank you, my brother, and thank you for the opportunity. What a real privilege, and just overwhelmingly, you know, I'm just decompressing all of what I've taken in over those days in Israel. It was so wonderful.
It was a lot of information. The family with whom you had Shabbat, you know, one thing that Shabbat really helps Christians understand when you experience it with a family is how to slow down,
yes,
and focus on family and not let a 7-day work week prematurely burn out your effectiveness. Shabbat is all about resting and being charged to do the work of the kingdom, to do the work of the Lord. So I'm glad, you know, there are some pastors who actually said, you know what, I'm going to adopt a 6-day work week instead of a 7. Because, you know, some guys were just pushing it all the way through for seven days out of the week, and that's not healthy. It's not good for us, and it doesn't give us an opportunity to focus on the Lord and focus on family. So I'm glad you were able to experience that.
Well, that's right. And, you know, a lot of people are starting to think on the Sabbath and on the day of rest is to really put down your handheld device, put down your phones, turn off the computer, and really kind of just spend some time with the Lord and with family, and meditation on Scripture, and you know that's how God designed it. And we saw it in real time in Israel, and of course the whole the nation stops, really. I mean, of course there's others who are going about doing some things, but most of the traffic was off the road, and they don't drive their cars, they walk, they stroll, they go some places, and it was a wonderful experience to see it firsthand.
And to see the kids just celebrating on Shabbat, because we were at the Western Wall just before Shabbat came down, and we were able to read from Zechariah chapter 8, where it speaks of old people will be in the streets of Jerusalem. Children will be dancing and having a great time in the streets of Jerusalem. I will do this, and it will be a declaration to the world that I am God. I mean, God, he is fully in charge. And showing the entire world, Jerusalem is mine, and no one else can have it. And I gave it to Israel, and it's the capital not only of Israel, but the capital of his kingdom on earth. And Satan knows that and hates it. That's why Israel has enemies.
I'll tell you, I will never forget that, just going down to the Western Wall as everyone was in procession down there, and the joy, like you said, of the old people and the young, of the ushering in of Shabbat, and then, of course, to take in the prayer time with them down at the wall, and then to spend the Sabbath dinner with this wonderful Jewish family, the rabbi and his wife. And the small connection there, she was originally from Cleveland, Ohio, so, and they are now living in Israel. So, you know, it really is a small world after all, and it was so wonderful to be with them that night, and they were gracious hosts. Well, also with us on the phone is our good friend Michael Goldstein. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris. I'm glad to be with you and with my old friend Lyndon.
Shalom, hey. Shalom to you, my bro.
Shalom. You know, the purpose, why did God make the Sabbath? For the Jewish people to honor him, so the Jewish people to honor God. That's why it was created. And you saw it in action.
We did indeed. You have family there, right, Mike?
I do, yes. I have a son, a daughter-in-law, and a granddaughter.
Well,
in Israel. Oh,
great.
Praise
That's
God.
Great. You know, Christians, initially, before Constantine got a hold of us, Mike, and Constantine shifted us from Saturday worshipers to Sunday worshipers. In actuality, the first 325 years of our history, we were doing Shabbat too. And Kyla got taken off the schedule. But Shabbat now for a Christian would be, you know, shut it down on Sunday. Take a pause on Sunday. You know,
yes,
who's doing this and really succeeding? The best Christian example of a Shabbat at work is Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. They're closed.
They
they're
shut
closed
down
on
Sunday.
Oh, Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby that's also right. shuts down.
Yeah. I should mention that, as Chris mentioned, I'm the Ohio State Director of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, and many of the people with PJTN who are evangelical Christians also celebrate the Jewish Sabbath. They shut down on Saturday.
Yours truly does as well.
Mm.
Yeah. So do I. And I don't do it in an attempt to drop my identity as an evangelical Christian, but what we do as Christians is wholly connected to Jewry. It is. Jesus, our rabbi, he moved us in the direction of understanding what Judaism is at the highest level for us. So what we're doing as Christians is actually, you know, when we have our communion, we're like doing a little mini Passover Seder. So we're so deeply connected. I had a rabbi tell me one time, he said, Lyndon, there's not a single Jew in the world that needs a Christian to explain their existence. But every Christian can't explain their existence without a Jew, and that Jew is Jesus.
Mm. You know, we saw the olive trees, of course, there in Israel and in Jerusalem, and then just to remember that we're grafted in. And those ancient roots, we saw olive trees that date back a millennium, and yet we saw new branches that were sprouting out from the ancient roots, but that from the trunk, and that is us. We're the ones grafted in, And so you can't refuse or rebuke the main flow, because that's what you're living from, is being grafted in.
I liken it unto any Christian who wants to divorce himself from the Jewish roots is like sawing off a branch, jutting out from a cliff, and you're standing on the wrong end.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're talking about Christians United for Israel, a national group that John Hagee started 15 years ago, and they do conduct tours to Israel, and pastors are coming. You know, Linda, I want to take a few minutes and talk about what really impressed me on the trip was the generational exchange, and that is, we have seen, you know, for instance, I was born in 1958, so literally not long after World War II, and of course the Holocaust in over 70 some years ago now, and the close of World War II. Then, of course, the birth of the State of Israel in 1948, and then, of course, the 67 War and the 73 War. And so our generation understands all that, what has happened to Israel in all this time. But there's a new generation coming, and I think the enemies of Israel have figured this out in the free country of the Republic of America, to go to our college campuses, the centers of our place of education, and go to that public square, and actually, with this BDS movement, to, in an insidious way, to turn the tide, turn opinion against the state of Israel. It's a very dangerous thing, not only for the state of Israel, but also for America. As we started the program with Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. So this, folks, this is your security as well here. We need to make sure that the perpetuation of the support for the state of Israel continues with the next generation. And Linda and I was so encouraged to see those younger pastors in their 40s and 30s and 20s that came on the trip. And this is the work of CUFI. Your thoughts?
Oh, well, it has to happen, because the passion that you described cannot die with us. It just can't. We have to transfer it, and we have to be unique about it. Christians United for Israel has created a chapter within our organization, a division within our organization called the Israel Collective. It is geared towards influential millennials, millennials who blog, millennials who are pastors, millennials who are involved in arts and entertainment. We take these 20-somethings and early 30s and mid-30-somethings to Israel, and some of them have been ardent opponents of Israel. And when they get there and they see what you saw, immediately they say, wait a minute, the narrative we're being fed here in the state is just flat wrong.
Yes.
You know, on college campuses, the fight is visceral. For example, some of your listeners may go to a grocery store or a post office, and no one's going to jump out of their car and wave a Palestinian flag in your face and say, hey, from the river to BC, Palestine be free. No, you're going to drop your postage off, your parcel posts off, you're going to go to the store and shop, and really no one's going to bother you. That is not what happens on a college campus. On a college campus, students are assaulted with this narrative, and it's a corrosive narrative. It's a false narrative against Israel. This is why I celebrate what Mike is doing in Ohio, what you're doing, and what I'm doing here with my team of individuals for the state of Tennessee and throughout my region, trying to pass anti-BDS legislation. And the reason why we seek to do this is because we don't want anything akin to financial terrorism against Israel, because that's exactly what Hitler did. He started out with that in 33. Don't do business with Jews, which led to gas chambers for Jews.
That's right.
12 years later. So it always starts with these little incremental steps of anti-Semitism. So now they want us to boycott Israel for quote-unquote apartheid offenses. We see that's the problem with the opponents to BDS legislation. The opponents to BDS legislation come with a corrosive narrative that they, while pushing against anti-BDS, while pushing against our legislation, their corrosive language flows. So we have to have the legislation in place, because quite frankly, you know, Google and Microsoft and Intel and all the other corporations you saw, Chris, as we drove through Tel Aviv, they're not going to stop doing business with Israel. It's just too profitable to stay away from Israel. But BDS, anti-BDS legislation opponents, they want the opportunity to spin their corrosive language, and we want nothing to do with that.
Well, one of the things that stood out was the journalist, the Palestinian journalist, Khalid Abu Tawameh, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Khalid Abu Tawameh, yeah, from Jerusalem Post, from the J-Post.
That's right. Here you have a Palestinian Muslim, and he visits America, and he speaks on our college campuses, and he said, I got to tell you, folks, I was actually afraid of what I was confronted with of this BDS movement and how it's seated within these young people and the kind of vitriol attitude they were giving me, trying to tell me that I'm not having freedom in Israel, and it's just the opposite as a Palestinian Muslim. And so he said, I'm really concerned of what I'm seeing in America. And this is from a Palestinian Muslim who is a moderate, who writes, and I got a lot from what he said, and it really made me start thinking about if he's concerned about the changing narrative and the propaganda that's being pushed upon our young people at these college campuses through the BDS movement, that's what makes HCR 10 that much more important to put a positive statement by opposing the BDS movement and also supporting the State of Israel. Mike Goldstein, your thoughts.
Thanks, Chris. I want to mention that our founder and president, Lori Cardoza Moore, has been working on this issue for a long time at Proclaiming Justice to the Nations. By the way, Proclaiming Justice to the Nations is on the web at pjtn.org. We have 47 documentary videos out available on our store online. All of them dealing with the juxtaposition of Israel and Judaism and Christianity. And they're all on different subjects. And the latest one deals with BDS, the BDS movement. It's called Boycott This. And the narrator is a Christian stand-up comedian. Brad Stein. Brad Stein. I've been listening to Brad Stein for years before he did anything like this. He's a very funny guy. It gives a lot of background on why the BDS movement should go down. Now, in Ohio, I'll back up a little. PJTN, we got our start working on removing anti-Semitic and anti-American material from American K-12 textbooks, beginning in Linden State of Tennessee, which is where PJTN is headquartered. Linden could come down the street, I guess, and visit us there. We've done that there, and we have a big program to begin that in Ohio, in all 611 school districts in Ohio. But we've been working on this legislation. We have an anti-BDS bill in Ohio called HCR 10, and in it, the General Assembly of the State of Ohio affirms their support and the support of the citizens of the state of Ohio for Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East, and the ties between Ohio and Israel. And we recognize as legislators the importance of expressing Ohio's unabridged support for the Jewish people and the state of Israel's right to exist and thrive, right to legitimate acts of self-defense, and goes on to talk about resolution goes on to talk about their position that trustees, administrators, and educators at all levels in our universities of Ohio must take an active stand against all anti-Semitic actions and intimidation against Jewish students on the campuses, so that all students, not just the Jewish students, may feel safe and be safe from harm due to these pernicious activities. And the resolution also contains a very strong free speech provision that the General Assembly members encourage and support the exercise of free speech and civil debate, particularly at college campuses. But they also encourage university and college administrations to curb any impediments to free speech and abridgment of free speech on campus, not just by students, but by faculty, staff, and everyone in the university community. This is the heckler's veto, where universities condone mostly student conduct that shuts down Jewish events, shuts down pro-Israel events, intimidates Jewish students on campus, intimidates Christian Zionists on campus, threatens them with physical harm, That is not protected speech under the First Amendment. That is a violation of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and this is recognized in this legislation, which we believe is very important. It's passed the Ohio House 92-2. It's a bipartisan bill resolution, and it is now getting hearings in the Ohio Senate. I do want to mention...
just a minute, Mike, because we're running out of time here. And then again, Pastor Allen, I want to get to something, because really taking the support Israel message to the next generation, what we're talking about here, is so important in that it is adopted by a younger generation. The Ministry of CUFI, Christians United for Israel, is doing that. There's going to be a conference in Washington in July. Tell us a little bit about that and how people can actually register for that and come to Washington for Christians United for Israel and learn so much more about the State of Israel and supporting the State of Israel.
Absolutely. I am so thankful to organizations like ours and, of course, PJTN. I know that Lori very well and her husband Stan, and we live here in the state together. We've worked on legislation together and resolutions together here in the state of Tennessee. And it's all about politics, 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 and making sure that legislation in D.C. is not detrimental to the state of Israel. That's why CUFI exists. We educate and we lobby. Mainly education, and then once a year we lobby. So if your listeners are interested in coming to D.C. and getting educated with high-level briefings, similar to what you received, Chris, when we were in Israel, and then storming the hill to our elective officials, which
yes.
go to our respective senators and congressmen, to tell them and remind them that we, the United States of America, and your constituents want you as our elected official to stand with Israel. One particular issue is the Taylor Force Act. Taylor Force was a U.S. soldier who fought in Iraq several tours, comes back to the United States, lives here in Tennessee, went to Vanderbilt University, visited Israel, and was stabbed to death in Israel. And that individual was then rewarded by the Palestinian Authority. His family was awarded, giving them a stipend for shedding the blood of an innocent person in Israel.
Mm.
So,
and Taylor Force, by the way, was a Christian, not a Jew.
Right, he was Christian. So the thing of it is, we don't want any money that we give to the Palestinian authorities, and it is to the tune of around $300 million. Which is exactly what they give out in stipend. So it gives this appearance of one-to-one. We're literally paying for your pay-to-slay program, Palestinian Authority, as the United States of America. So we said, no. We're done with that.
We're done with that,
Yeah, we're not going to give you aid if you're going to be giving that money in any. If you redirect it indirectly or directly, use it to create a stipend for terrorists and their families. So the Taylor Force Act right now is in the Senate, and we're looking for it to be on the Senate floor for debate and get over to President Trump's desk and to have it signed. So those are the kind of things that CUFI gets behind. We help the Senators Cruz and Graham, with the drafting of this. That's how powerful the organization has become. And I know we are powerful because the late night TV show hosts, they now make fun of us.
Well, and that's right, because we're doing such effective work. We're talking about Christians United for Israel. With us on the phone is Lyndon Allen, who is the Central Regional Coordinator. We just returned from a trip to Israel, and there's opportunity. There's opportunity for you to get on a trip to Israel as well, and we're going to be sharing that with you in the coming weeks. But also, I want to give you an opportunity. You can go on Facebook and find Christians United for Israel and look for that, and you can find their Facebook page, also their website. Just Google Christians United for Israel, and you'll find out information about the July trip. You don't want to miss that. You want to get down there. This is the 70th year of the State of Israel. This is a significant time for such a time as this. This is the time to stand with Israel, ladies and gentlemen, because there are many enemies. And in this nation, we cannot allow anti-Semitism to raise its ugly head again. We must speak out against it. And if it's not you, then who? That's why it's our time to do that, you know. And so, you know, Pastor Allen.
Can they go to kufi.org?
Kufi.org?
That's where they go. C-U-F-I, Christians United for Israel, kufi.org. Click away, July 23rd through the 24th. Take a vacation with a purpose. Take a vacation with a purpose to Washington, D.C., and you'll affect these United States for the good.
Amen. You know, real quick, we only have 2 minutes left. Lyndon, about Danny Terza, he took us. This is a man that was the architect of the security fence and wall around the area in Jerusalem, and it's working, and it allows access back and forth across the barrier, but it keeps the bad guys out and let the people that want to come in and have commerce work jobs, Palestinians that want to come and work jobs in Israel sector, to do so. And so that, to me, was a very living example that it was trading off security for access. And I think he found a very good balance in doing that. And so it's working. Your thoughts?
He most certainly did, and the briefing that you received was a high-level briefing. Danny Terza is the individual that briefs all of our secretaries of state since he's been in his position. And what he has shown is this. At CNN and the like, the wall is 95% of what's surrounding Israel. Not so. It actually represents 5% of a barrier, and the other 95% is nothing more than a fence.
Yes.
And you saw that with your own eyes.
I did, and I'm seeing that it's working. We've run out of time, gentlemen. Again, with me on the phone is Lyndon Allen. He is the Central Regional Coordinator for KUFI, Christians United for Israel. Pastor, thank you for joining us. Mike Goldstein, we'll have you back real soon to talk about this because we couldn't get it all in one program. But, gentlemen, thank you both for sharing these ideas and thoughts about the State of Israel. God bless you both.
Good to be with you, Chris.
And if you've missed any of today's program, you can also go to our website, ohioca.org, and hear it's in completion. God bless you and shalom.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.